Blog Talk Radio.
There is a thin divide between what is perceived as spiritual and what is perceived as paranormal, for they are forever intertwined throughout time. Traveling within the history of the world, we can find examples of spirituality that involves everything from magic, spirits, gods and goddesses, seers, or people said to be able to talk to the dead, to the great beyond. We all have our belief systems, we all have our own truths, so let us possibly bend those truths a bit with some insights and perspectives that may be different than yours, or even give validation for what you see as true. Come sit with myself and the best of the best in the research, teaching, discovery, and practitioners of the day. My name is Bear Medicine Walker, and I welcome you to Spiritually Paranormal. Katrina Weidman has been entwined in the paranormal since she was a child and the journey began. Known publicly from shows like Paranormal State to Paranormal Lockdown, she is now one of the top admired and respected researchers of the field. Today, she takes time out to join us to discuss a bit about the worlds she walks between. I am both humbled and honored to welcome her here with us today. What a treat. So welcome, Ms. Katrina. Welcome to Spiritually Paranormal.
Thank you so much for having me.
I just have to tell you, I've followed your work since you were on Paranormal State. And one of the things that always drew me to watching and listening to what you girls always had to say was, and it really built up a lot of respect, was how you did the research, how you kind of always remember that spirit normally was once human as well. So how has that grown, like, as you've been doing that work? I mean, I really admire the way you do your research.
Thank you. Yeah, I think, you know, my views and my, I guess, investigating style have certainly evolved since I've been in the field. You know, I started when I was in college, and that was, you know, 12 years ago now. So, I mean, things have certainly evolved for me as an investigator. And I think as far as the research goes, you know, it's always really important to have a good foundation of, you know, what you're getting yourself into. Now, a lot of times I will go in kind of more blind, especially when I work in lockdown, because I've noticed the longer I've been in the field, the more my other senses have come into play. And, you know, and it's funny because I meet a lot of investigators who feel the same way. They're like, you know, I was never sensitive to anything. And then, you know, 5 years later, here I am picking up on all this stuff that matches historically to what happened. And I always tell other investigators, like, you know, don't, it's always great to use that kind of energy as an added tool. You know, don't take it for gospel, because at the end of the day, we really don't know how the paranormal works. That's part of why we do the work we do, to try to figure it out and put all the puzzle pieces together. But it's always great to have as an extra tool. So there's some locations I go heavy into research, others I kind of back off a little bit. And it's more to test myself than anything, you know, and to see if I do pick up on things that match up historically. And, you know, what's great about the work I do now is, you know, obviously I work with Nick Groff, and so we can rely on each other to do that kind of stuff. So it's like if I lay off on the research a little bit, I know that he has the work to back that up. So,
well, you know, talking about, and I've seen your show, which Paranormal Lockdown, you know, we all love it. A lot of us love it. I know my daughter and I, we've watched some of the episodes over and over a couple times because you always miss stuff, you know, when you're watching things. And I'm a spiritual mm-hmm. medium. So I watch and, you know, spirit doesn't have a timetable. You know, that's a human thing. It's a
right.
human label that we kind of put things in. But I commented even to her a couple weeks ago when she was up visiting me was how I've watched yourself and even Nick grow into that intuitive. And again, I don't like putting labels on things, so whether it's mediumship,
yeah.
whatever people want to call it, but I see that connection that, you know, kind of like I watch you sometimes and even your expressions, you know, it's like, you can tell what's coming around the corner before it comes. So do you consider
yeah.
yourself, you know, are you a medium? Do you hear? Do you, you know, how do you relate to that?
Yeah, well, it's funny because I'm very much the same way you are, where I hate the labels. And a funny story is that when I started Paranormal State, you know, we all have our little labels, you know, Sergi is the tech specialist, Heather's the documentarian.
Yep.
Originally, they were going to label me the psychic. And I, like, mm-hmm. freaked out about it. I was like, there's no way you're labeling me that. Like, you know, because when I first started meeting, when I first joined the club, because it started out as a club in Paranormal, for Paranormal State, and I always had these experiences where I would have dreams that would come true, or I would just have these knowing feelings about people or situations. And I always describe them because they're so hard to describe, and anybody else who has had them knows that, like, trying to describe them to somebody who hasn't, it's like, I mean, how do you even put that into words? But the best way I can describe it is it's like a history fact. So if I asked you who was the first president of the United States, you wouldn't have to think about it. You just say George Washington. So it's like that kind of knowing, you know? And so I've always had that. And I remember when I started Paranormal State, I was explaining it to them. And then, you know, obviously the show started and I was explaining it to the producers. And so they were like, oh, she's a psychic. And I'm like, no. And it actually caused a big problem from what I understand, because they had already made the intro credits and I wasn't aware that they were labeling me as this. And I was like, no, you cannot label me as that. Because to me, I mean, and it's fine if other people want to label themselves as that, but for me personally, I think I don't know if it accurately describes what goes on. I'm still trying to figure out what goes on for myself, let alone in the paranormal community, you know? So for me, you know, it's not something that I can turn on whenever I want. It happens when it happens, and it happens in a variety of ways. So, you know, I do have the dreams that come true, and sometimes they're more of a metaphor that I have to kind of piece together. Other times they're very straightforward and play out exactly how they play out in life. Other times I have like the knowing feelings. And other times, especially when I'm working on investigations, I get a lot of physical sensations. So a lot of times I can walk into a place and I'll feel how somebody died, or I just
That's
know what
hard.
An event
That's
that happened there or
Yeah.
Yeah. Or, you know, recently I was on a location where, like, every single room we went into, I was able to kind of see in my mind's eye what people were experiencing, you know, or I can feel who's there, what is there, you know, so things like that. And I have had mediumship come through on one case. And I was working on Paranormal State at the time, and I was actually with Chip Coffee. And we were working on a case.
Great guy.
That involved a woman who love Chip. We call him Monkey Chip. So, you know, I was working on a case where there was a woman who committed suicide, and, you know, just as kind of an experiment, she was like, well, come into the room with me and hold some of her personal and see whatever you get. And, you know, I was just kind of there and I didn't really believe anything would happen. And then all of a sudden I started hearing, it was my voice in my head, but I had no control over it. And it started, I started hearing these words in my head, and, you know, unbeknown to me at the time, they actually matched up with things in this woman's life, and I started feeling physical sensations of how she died. It's so hard for me to put a label on all of that, but I believe, personally, doing this for 12 years, that everybody has this ability. I think we've just been, I mean, humans are remarkable at blocking out things that they don't want to deal with. You know, we see that in so many different ways, from, you know, childhood trauma to, I believe, you know, these extra senses that we have that we don't use all the time. And I, the best way I can describe it to people is I think we're pretty much like an antenna, and there's all this information mm-hmm. kind of floating around, and some people mm-hmm. just are able to absorb it and pick it up. And I think with practice, people who don't naturally have that gift can do it. It just takes, like anything, it takes practice, and you have to be very willing to open yourself up. And it's hard for some people because we're so taught to live in what we see, what we feel kind of world.
Right, right.
And, you know, modern science hasn't really,
Well, no, I was just going to say, my feeling is, like you were saying, I think everybody has the ability. I think we're born with the ability, but I think society and culture make it kind of taboo, although it's not as taboo as it used to be, probably even when you were a kid to when I was a kid, because I was a kid in the 60s.
Yeah.
So I'm a little older than
right.
you.
Right, and it's
just that thing, and you have to open yourself to it, like you said.
Yeah. Yeah, I very much believe that. And I think, you know, and I agree with you. I think another way I explain it to people is, I think, you know, for example, my fiance has very bad eyesight, so he needs glasses. I have 20/20 vision, so I don't. And I think it's kind of the same thing. Like, some people are just born with maybe, you know, a little extra, a heightened sense to the other things in our universe.
Yeah,
a little.
Well, do you think
right.
it's a paranormal?
That's a great way to put it.
Do you think it's Do you think it's like a paranormal dimensions? Do you think there's multiple dimensions running? I mean, this is like, you know, one of those questions that you know they've asked. Even Stephen Hawking was asked about the black hole and the dimensions and all that. You know, I kind of wonder, because there's so much out there, and I kind of laugh, and I have to think that you guys kind of chuckle at it too when people say, well, there's no scientific evidence. And here you guys are out there, and you're pulling all this stuff in. I mean, what is it if it's not scientific evidence?
Right. So I think, and, you know, again, from doing this for so long, and I've been in a unique situation because of the shows, where I've met so many different people. And have heard about their beliefs and why they believe A, B, and C, and why they don't believe A, B, and C. And one of the conclusions I've come up with so far is that it's so tied to people's religious views. So the paranormal, and you know, people also have a misunderstanding about what the paranormal is. So when people hear the word paranormal, they automatically think ghosts. And it doesn't just mean ghosts. I mean, it literally, the paranormal means anything science cannot define. So, you know, it's this whole genre of things that do happen that we have no explanation for. So, and, you know, a lot of it is fringe science, obviously it's fringe science because it's not 100% proven. But I always tell people, I'm like, listen, even if we took, let's just take 75% of the experiences that people have and explain it away as, you know, physiological, psychological, neurological, it's, you know, something in the environment, it's misidentification by eyewitnesses, whatever, you still have 25% of people actually experiencing something. And even if it's less than that, let's say it's like only 5% of these experiences are actually something happening, it's still 5% of something actually happening. You know, and even, let's say, you know, for the sake of argument, that it, well, that's still something happening. So I'm always really surprised when people are so, and we do it all the time, and I think we've been conditioned to think that way, because, I mean, look at how media has treated the paranormal, you know, with, and I mean, oh my gosh, horror movies and paranormal movies are my favorite, but if you watch them, a lot of times, it's, you know, those people who believe in that stuff are looked at as the crazy person. If you've ever watched a movie that had
absolutely.
A psychic in it, scripted, right, they're always like the crazy person.
They're the first
and
ones.
So I think,
they were the first ones backed off, right, in the movies.
Yeah. So, you know, I think people are just very conditioned to think that it's not real. And we're also told when we're children, it's not real. You know, don't believe in it because it's scary. And, but if you, like you were saying, when you talk to other scientists, there's a whole list of scientists that believe that there's things that happen in this world that we can't see. And I mean, we already know that we can't see radio waves with our own eyes, you know.
Right.
So there are
right,
things in this
right.
world that happen, and I'm a big believer in, listen, we don't have everything figured out, Because if we did,
yeah,
I mean, we wouldn't need scientists, would we? Like, you know, we're just
always the teacher, always the student. Yeah, you're always the teacher, always the student. Has to be that way because that's how you get the balance. Well, you know, with all that said, you know, and you know, you had mentioned that a lot of it people think it's like faith-based, whether they believe in it or not. You know, what about protection?
Yeah.
You know, people, I got into a discussion with some people recently, and we had someone in the particular group that was speaking about it, and they said, oh, protection, that's all in your head. You know, you don't hit, that's a religious, and it's like, no, not really. So at least my belief, okay, and everybody has their own opinion of it. So what is your opinion of protection, and what kind of protection do you recommend?
Well, that's the funny part. So I said earlier that I think people's beliefs on ghosts especially are tied to their religious views. So a lot of people that I have met that don't believe in ghosts, they always go back to the religion that they were brought up in, which taught them that there is no such thing as ghosts. And I always tell people, well, you kind of have to expand you literally in the paranormal, you have to break down everything you think you know and get back to what people in the field are doing and what they've discovered so far. And there are patterns in there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, with that said, and it kind of sounds counterintuitive, I guess, because I'm telling you, you know, forget what you were taught in your religion, because we might not be dealing with that. And that's the only reason I said that. I'm not knocking on anyone's religion. I'm just saying we might not be dealing with what these scriptures tell us we're dealing with. So we have to be open to that. At the same time, though, and this is kind of backed up by science, because we look at things like meditation. And meditation is the same, is pretty much a form of prayer, you know, as putting yourself in that space, emitting energy. And a lot of energy workers will tell you it's all about the energy that you're putting out. And we know that there is some factual basis for that. So to me, protection is the same way as a meditation or a prayer. And I always tell people, especially when I work with clients, you know, go with your faith, because that's what's going to, you're going to have the most belief in that. So you're going to have the biggest potential to concentrate on that and to kind of get yourself in that headspace that you need to, kind of like that trance space where you need to be to emit an energy. I mean, we know energy is real, and I know it's hard for people kind of to wrap their heads around it because, again, we've been very conditioned not to believe in that stuff. But it's all energy. Everything is energy. So, you know, I'm a big believer with protection. Go with your faith first, and if it doesn't work, then explore other things.
Okay. Well, that's good. That's good sound advice, and that's pretty much where we went with it. But it's like you look through history, and it's kind of hard not to believe in some of it, that it works. And, you know, he said, well, it's all psychological. And I'm like, no, been there, done that with some of the things that I've come up in over the years. So it's kind of more than just a faith or psychological basis. You know, I've come up twice in my life with clients, and I had to get hold of my elders, where we had some not nice things, you know, came through, and they had to be dealt with. And I was glad I was protected because it kind of blasted us. So,
Well, that's my thing, though. Even if it is psychological, I mean, it's still something happening, you know. So working on a psychological level, it's still working. So.
Yeah, and scientifically, it was something that you can't prove it didn't happen, but you can't prove it did. So, I get that a lot. Okay, one of the really absolutely cool things that you guys are doing to actually prove all this stuff is you're using a lot of really awesome equipment right now, and some of this equipment was like, oh, my gosh, I just about dropped on the floor seeing the geo box, the geo spirit box.
Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And what is your thought on that? I mean, they're like, it's like, to me, that's almost better than catching an EVP on a tape recorder. I mean, I was blown away by that thing.
Yeah. Geoport. So right now we use the Geoport, which is like a variation of geo box. You know, I was kind of skeptical at first, and not just because you have to keep a skeptical hat on whenever you're using equipment.
Well,
to meet,
your
because
name
I never want to be. Right. Yeah. And that's the thing. But I say this because I think as investigators, we always want to make sure that if we're going to label something as unexplainable, we really want to make sure it's unexplainable. You know what I mean? Because it's kind of, you want to make, I mean, you're putting your name on something. You want to make sure you're being accurate about it. And I was really skeptical at first, but then we had some really weird stuff happen with it. Full names coming through. Like, I mean, it has called my name out a few times. Nick always hears it before I do. I never hear my name at first. And then when we go back and listen to it, I'm like, well, oh my gosh. But there have been a couple of times where I've heard my name like right off the bat. And I'm like, holy crap, that just said my name. And my name's not common. It's not easy to say. It's three syllables, So it's, there are some really weird things that happen. And I'll tell you something, and this is actually something I learned from, God rest their soul, Mark and Debbie Constantino. I've worked with them a few times, and I asked Debbie one time, I said, how do you get these EVPs? Because they had the most amazing EVPs. And I've sat with them in dark rooms and haunted places before, watched them do it. They're not using any trickery. They just ended up with amazing EVPs. And one of the things Debbie told me was, she's like, I never switch recorders. She's like, I always use the same recorder. And she's like, that has something to do with like you're charging it with some kind of energy. And what I've noticed about the Geoport is it seems to be doing the same thing. So the longer we use it, the more places we take it, it's getting more accurate, it's getting more vocal. Just recently, and I can't say what it said, but just recently we had, it sounded like you were on the other end of a telephone with somebody. I mean, that's how clear it was. And it said a phrase that, it made me want to cry. It said a full sentence, and it was just one of the most bizarre things I've ever heard come through that. And George Brown is the maker. George Brown is an engineer, so it's really fascinating to get his take, since he is an engineer, and kind of putting everything together to see how this other side communicates, really. So
I just am blown away by them. And, I have to, the one that I think really gave me goosebumps, there was actually two of your shows with Nick with Paranormal Lockdown, was the one down in New Orleans at that murder house. It was just eerie listening to that kind of stuff. And then the Monroe house. That had to freak you guys out a bit where, and I kept saying to my daughter as I was watching it, I says, you know what? I says, I swear to God, and this was before it had come out. I was like, they're going to come out, and it's going to come out on that box. You're going to hear this chick, and she's dead, and she's buried under the house, And we're like, oh, my gosh, that happened. And I just, the hair went up on my everything, And it was like, that was just creepier than creepy. I mean, just.
Yeah.
It was like they're talking. It's like in another dimension, and they're talking to each other. So it's like, well, where do you think all this new tech, do you think it's going to get to the point where, down the road, maybe, not in the next 5 or 6 or 10, even 10 years, but do you think down the road they're going to finally find a piece that's going to scientifically prove beyond a shadow of a doubt?
I think, that's the thing, to be scientifically proven, there are certain steps that would have to be taken. So it'd have to be something that can be repeatable, that can be repeated in a controlled environment, that kind of thing. So I think, though, we already have a lot of pieces in the community that are completely unexplainable. And I think back up the fact that there is something going on. It's just getting it to a point where we can, repeat it. Because that doesn't always happen. And as any investigator knows, it's kind of a crapshoot sometimes. I mean, sometimes you go in and you can communicate with things and you get answers. Other times you go in and it's like, Jesus, I'd rather be doing laundry than this. It's like, 'cause nothing is happening and it's so boring. But it's hard. But I think, we're getting to a point, especially with technology, and I'm sure you get this question all the time. I get it every single time I go out and lecture, and I don't blame people for asking it. It's a very good question. And the question is, if ghosts are real, why can't we see them on film? Why haven't you captured anything on camera? Why haven't you captured this? And it's a great question, because we're thinking, well, if a camera can capture the things I see in this world, and if somebody saw a ghost, why can't it capture a ghost? And it's funny, because I think we're thinking too limited. We're thinking too much with what our eyes do.
When well, we're thinking too maybe, much like humans, right? Too much like
right.
humans. Because you guys have caught a lot of stuff. Even that mat that you guys roll out, the lights, where it, you know, the lights light up like when energy passes over it. People, you know, have to understand that ghosts, or what I call them, is spirit, is like not like human form. So it's a different kind of energy. So, and they're just not catching
it's,
that. They're just not
catching. Right. And again, I think that goes back to what we've been conditioned to believe a ghost is. You know, and I'm totally, like, I'm kind of a believer that if you believe in one thing in the paranormal, you have to be kind of open to all of it, because we really don't know what is going on. We have thoughts and theories, and that's based on, you know, people's experiences and case studies and all that good stuff. But, you know, until we have kind of like the little flag that, you know, oh, this is, you know, we can put it in and say this is what it is, this is how it works, you know, then we kind of have to be open to everything, I think, you know.
I think the problem is other people, right? I think that's the whole problem is a lot of people aren't. And I think that leads to, like, you know, why people look at the paranormal as kind of like, wow, really? You do the paranormal? Seriously?
Mm-hmm.
Like, oh, you're doing a show?
Yeah.
Or, you know, it's not as taken as seriously sometimes as I think it really should be. Just my thought.
Right. And again, I think that comes down to we've been conditioned to think it's, you know, hogwash. And because if you think about it, too, it's funny, because anything else that would have, I think, you know, because if you look at it, this stuff has been happening for hundreds of years all over the world. And I mean, it's not just, it's not crazy people that are having these experiences. It's, you know, very, you know, prominent people in society throughout hundreds of years having these experiences. And I think any other experience like that, a scientific community would be like, oh, okay, something's happening. Let's take a look at this. But for some reason with ghosts, and again, my belief is that it's because it's so ingrained in religion that people have been taught, you know, not to believe in it. Or if you do believe in it, then it's evil, you know. So I think a lot of people just, they automatically have a prejudice against it as it's not real. And if it does exist, it's not something I want to be involved in. And that's why I tell people, like, at all my lectures, I'm like, you like, just strip away everything you think you know and just look at the fact that this has been happening for a very long time to people all over the world, very smart people, people with prominent positions in society. Something's happening. And I go back to, again, I go back to even if it's psychological, still, doesn't that deserve an explanation? Doesn't that deserve people exploring what that is and why that happens?
I think absolutely, you know, it does. So, I mean, there's just no question about it. It does. And I think that, you know, I think it's coming. I think we're close to it. I think we're close to a lot more people being able to accept it and what have you. It's like, I don't know, it's like you go to psychology, you know, psychology is a big field. It's a study of mind. And I worked at Children's Hospital for a long time with the kids, and I saw a lot of stuff. And one of the things that I worked with a neurologist who did brain surgery. And the biggest thing was, you know, half of our brain, our human brain, isn't being used. And they used to learn how to remap that brain. And I think that that's a big part of what a lot of us have, like you said, and we were talking about earlier, is we're a part of it when we're born. We all have these abilities, but we don't use them all. I'm going to take a minute here, and I'm going to bring my daughter Taylor on, because with us talking about this and talking about the kids and stuff, I think she's got a question for you, okay? So, Katrina, this is my daughter, Taylor. Taylor, Katrina.
Hey, Taylor.
Hey, how are you?
Hi, Taylor. How are you?
I'm doing well. I'm just getting off work for the day, so I don't know.
Oh,
I just
good.
As
so
caught the last
happy
few minutes
hour
of
now.
Your but I caught the last few minutes what you guys are saying, and like I'm actually I don't know. I went to school for social and psych, and I think that what you guys are saying is like really I don't know, intriguing to me, because I feel like there are a lot of instances of kids experiencing things or seeing things, mm-hmm. and people writing them off as, you know, oh, it's just a kid, they're just imagining it, it's not real, it's not, you know. And I think as we grow up, we're kind of socialized into, you know, rationalizing all of that away and, like, shutting ourselves
yeah.
off to that. And I just
yeah,
think
I agree.
Well, you know, one of the other things, Taylor, you know, and she might not want to admit this, but she has had, oh, she dropped off. All right, well, her phone must have died. One of the things that she didn't admit to you was she has abilities too. So as a kid, she was lucky enough to grow up with me because I had had the gift since I can remember as well. So there was a lot of things mm-hmm. that were, you know, she experienced as a kid. She saw spirit. She saw my dad. She never
yeah.
met my dad. She was born the same year my dad passed away. He passed away when I was 3.5 months pregnant. And when she was four years old, and she was in my car, she was talking, and I was like, who are you talking to? She says, Papa, Grandpa, he's right there. Can't you see him? You know, and I'm like, okay. No, I couldn't at
yeah.
that time, but she could, and she never met him. And she gave me a message from him that she wouldn't have known. She was only 3.5, you know, it's like, seriously?
Mm-hmm.
So,
you know, especially when I worked with Paranormal State, because that is a client-based, you know, organization, and so I worked with a lot of children, and it's funny because Taylor brought up a great point that, you know, we're always telling children not to believe, people write children off. You know, and it's not like we do it to be mean. We do it to protect them because they're scared. But, you know, you also have to wonder about the psychological effect on that, because we know kids, when they're little, that's where a lot of things develop. So, for example, I was just talking about this with somebody the other day. Can't remember the exact word, but it's like hostile, super ego, I think. And that's where people develop their critical inner voice. And it comes
mm-hmm.
when you're just learning, you know, verbiage, so around 2 or 3.
Mm-hmm.
And it happens as easy as a parent going, what's wrong with you? Why did you do that? And we develop this
right.
critical voice. And so you got to
right.
wonder what else, like when we're talking about the paranormal and a kid comes to you and says, you know, Mommy, Daddy, I just saw so-and-so in a closet, whatever it is, you know, and you tell them it's not real, they are learning, oh, okay, I can't trust myself. I can't. This isn't real. Mom and Dad say it's not real. They're the people I trust most. You know, so is it blocking then? You're kind of turning that part of yourself off. And I believe it does. And again, I don't think any parent does that to be mean. It's just, you know, you're protecting your child. But we know that, again, humans are really, really good at blocking things that they don't want to deal with out. I mean, we're experts at it, you know. And paranormal is, I mean, I'm sure you've experienced this, where it can be a little bit of a nuisance sometimes in your life. And
no,
again, people block that stuff out.
Yeah, no, really? Like, I'll be laying in bed and I'll have clients that next day, and all of a sudden I'm getting bear, bear, bear. And I'm like, what? Oh, my God, what? And I roll over, and it's like, you know, oh, well, you know, you're going to be talking to blah, blah, blah. You need to tell them blah. Seriously? Let me sleep, you know? They pop up when you're, and I know you've got a gift. I don't care what you say. I know you have a gift, and I know that things pop up, like you said, in inopportune times, you know. I've met people on the road where they've been there, and all of a sudden, you know, you see somebody next to them that may have died, and you're looking, and I'm like, okay. And they're telling me how they died, you know, maybe in a car accident, or maybe it was a child. You know, what are you supposed to say to these people? Hello, I'm not Teresa Caputo, okay? So I'm like, say, hey, I'm a medium and I see dead people, and I'm, you know, that's kind of hard. How do you deal with something like that? And I know that's happening. I know it. You can't, don't lie to me. I know I'm a bear.
I just, you know, I usually don't say anything if I don't know the person. If I know the person. And it just happened, another investigator, something popped up when I was working with her. And I was just like, oh, my gosh, I have to say this to you. And it was, you know, it was accurate, but I was able to have a conversation with her. She already believes in this stuff, so it was kind of easy. But people I don't know, I'm I'm always like, do I do it? Do I not? I don't know. Especially like I remember, and I wish I had said something to her because this was like 7 years ago and I still think about it. I was sitting next to this lady on a plane and I just, again, it was that knowing feeling, something about her grandmother. And I don't know what it was. It's just something in my head kept saying, like, say something about her grandmother. And I didn't. And because it was like, we're on a plane for like the next 3 hours and she has to sit next to me. So it's like, if she has like a bad reaction, like, you know, that could turn really bad. So I was in a space where like, you know, she couldn't get away from me if she wanted to. So I didn't want to put her in that position. But, you know, I did have a dream, and I think about this dream a lot. And this happened like 10 years ago. And I still remember this dream. I had a dream about a girl who had died. And in my dream, it was not exactly 100% real. It was more metaphorical, but I was able to get names and also a county where she died. And I looked it up on like just through a Google search and it came up. And one of the things she said to me in the dream was, she's like, tell my mom I'm not foolish. Tell my mom I'm not foolish. And I've never reached out to her mom to say that. And I don't know. It's such like a weird, I mean, do you do that or do you not? It's such a, you know, if I ever met this woman, you know, and she wanted to know the answers, maybe I would, but I don't know if I would just like cold reach out to somebody.
It's kind of one of those things. Has it happened to you like again and again? Like sometimes, okay, with me anyway, okay, and this is just my truth, as I call it. I'll have spirit come, like you're saying, and they'll give you this message, and you'll ponder it, right? You're just like what you're doing now. It's like, do I reach out to her? Do I say anything about this? Blah blah blah. Okay. And then next thing you know, you haven't, or you've kind of pushed it in the proverbial closet, so to speak, in a box somewhere, and you kind of let it go. And next thing you know, that same precise dream or vision, or you're hearing that voice in your head again, comes back. And it keeps coming back. So if spirit wants you to give it, they keep coming back until you do. And then when you release the message, okay, they are happy, and that's what they want. They want a voice, right?
Yeah.
That's what they want.
Yeah.
They want to be able to have it on their own terms. It's important for some reason to get that message across. I have a pair of friends. They're adults. They're older than me. They lost their twin boys. One was 30 and one was 31. They lost them about a year apart. It was devastating for them. But I can tell you, I have seen and heard these boys as many other people have. They show up, they do things, they manipulate energy. They have been everywhere. So if they want their message to be heard, so to speak, it'll be heard, or you'll have to be asked to give that message, and they'll come back. That person will come back, and what I call, they will haunt you. And I kind of laugh until you give that message. It's what they do. If it's that important to them to get that message, it's because we can see and hear them, Katrina. Think about that. You know, you're living in another world, and it would be like walking around in a country where you didn't know the language. You just want somebody to hear and understand you, and that's basically
right.
What we are.
Yeah, that's a good way to put it. Mm-hmm.
So it's basically
those antennas.
We're
receivers. I definitely believe in receivers for the transmitters. You know, so.
Absolutely. Well, I know you've got to go. I'm going to bring my daughter on really quick because she called back and she felt bad and she wanted to apologize for that.
Yeah.
But you made you live, Tay. But anyway, we both appreciate you coming here with us today. I know your work is very appreciated by many people, and I know you get fans, but that's not why I like watching you and Nick and you know, just the work you do. And I just feel that I look at you and there's a lot of people out there and you're real. Okay. You come across as real.
Thank you.
If you think it's bunk, you say it's bunk.
No, I think
and
that's one of the most appealing things about it is it's, you know, the authenticity that you guys have when you're researching, like you're doing it for the research, like you have a passion for what you do. And I think it's really evident. And I think that's great. And it's nice to see like a strong like female investigator too. Like that's nice to see too, because there's a lot of ego and like BS, I think, in the field sometimes, and it's just refreshing.
Thank you so much.
How does it feel to be the woman? How does it feel to be one of the most leading women out there in the eye, the public eye?
It feels great because I agree with Taylor, where I don't think a lot of women have had a good representation of ourselves in the field. You know, I think especially a lot of the earlier paranormal shows, and again, we go back to, you know, kind of the scripted stuff, the horror movies, the paranormal movies, which again, I absolutely love. But if you look at how we've been represented, it's always kind of the crazy psychic or the woman running out of the room screaming.
Yeah, or the
you
victim,
know, and,
yeah.
Right. So, you know, and it's funny because it's just, I find that the field is more dominated by women than men. And as far as the ratio goes, there's more, when I go out on the road and I meet people at lectures, and there are plenty of men in the field for sure, but I always find kind of the ratio of men to women, there seems to be more women than men. So it's funny to me that there hasn't been a good representation of women before. And I'm happy that I can be a part of it. And there's, you know, a lot of other women who are representing the field beautifully, I think. And I'm happy that we're finally, you know, the women in the field are finally getting to that point where it's we can be in the forefront of an investigation or even a paranormal show and, you know, do it justice. So I'm happy that that's finally
I think the men don't necessarily want to go to a lot of events that are like learning events or, you know, unless they're like on the other side, like Nick would be with you. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
I think women want to learn. They want to absorb any information that they can to make things better for what they're studying or what have you. So I think that makes a big difference too. You know how it is.
I also think it's very, you know, the paranormal a lot is about, you know, being open and getting in touch with things that you're taught not to believe really. And I think, it's kind of more a generalization, but from talking to a lot of men in the field, this is what I've heard is that, you know, they're very much taught not to, you know, open themselves up. And when they were kids, it was even more so than the females, you know, that men don't do that. Men are not supposed to do that. So I've met a lot of men in the field who are like, I was like a closeted paranormal person for like years, you know, I couldn't tell anybody about it. So, I mean, maybe that's part of the reason why the ratio seems a little unbalanced sometimes, too. You know, I met a lot of people, and one of the good things I think has come about the shows, is that, you know, it's exposed a lot of people to the fact that there are many different types of people that have these kinds of experiences, and it's okay, you're not alone. And I've met so many people, like, who are elderly, even. Like, my mom was actually just telling me about a friend of hers who's in his 80s who took paranormal classes out of college. And he's like, I've always wanted to do this, but I thought it was weird. And now I kind of know, you know, so, yeah.
Wow. Well, you're heading this year, matter of fact, the end of this month, or no, August, I think, and then back in October again into our home state of Michigan. So I hope you have a very wonderful experience while you are here.
Thank you.
And as you're traveling northbound, wave to the bear at the cave because you'll be passing through the area, and I think you'll find it beautiful. Have you ever been to Michigan before?
I have. I love Michigan. I think Michigan is such a beautiful state. I've been a couple places there, and definitely the Upper Peninsula before. So this will be my second time at Michigan Paragon, which is at the end of August.
Mm-hmm.
Very excited to be there. And that's actually the only event that me and Nick
sold
are doing
out
together this year. So
sold out. Sold out.
Oh, is it sold out now? Oh, good. Okay.
Yeah, sold out. Sold out. That's awesome.
Sold out. And then Little Traverse Bay, I'll be there in October.
Mm-hmm.
And that event is sold out, but as far as I know.
Check that out.
What's that?
Yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry. I said there's a really, really cool asylum up there. I don't know where they're doing the convention at in Traverse City, but they actually just did. They took like this old mental asylum and then they converted just like the front area into like this business strip, which is really odd. But they left everything else in the original state and stuff. And I think they were talking about like incorporating that with the convention. I don't know. I'm not going to be able to make
amazing
it to that one this year, but it's pretty neat. So if you're up there, you should definitely check it out.
Yeah, I would love to. Sometimes we, like, you know, we don't have, like, so much time on our hands, but if we do, that would be amazing. But I do know that they still have Segation tickets available for Little Traverse Bay. So if anybody wants to go to Little Traverse Bay, the investigation side, I know they have tickets for that. And then I'll be at Sage Paracon, which is in England, in November, and they still have tickets.
You're actually there with some of my friends. Actually, they're with the Parasearch Radio group, and they're going to be going there too. They're part of that. So Carrie Greenaway and Sean Cadman and all them guys. So were all excited about that too. They go, "Oh, Katrina's coming here! Katrina's coming!"
Oh,
and Sean and Max Reynolds, Sean. Yeah, Sean and Bex Reynolds from Ghost Dimension, which is one of the big shows over in the UK, they're going to be hopefully coming here to the States, but they're over there right by where you're going to be too, so they're all excited too. So,
oh, perfect. And so UK is great for investigating. You always get something in the UK. Every place I've been to, you get something.
And then you ask people in the UK,
amazing.
And they all want to come here, and they all say, "Oh my God, you guys have such phenomenal things here to, you know, investigate." So it's all good, no matter where you're at, right? So, Katrina, I wish you well. Oh, and you got to tell everybody, when is Paranormal Lockdown going to be hitting? Third season going to be hitting? I think I saw something, but tell us.
Yeah. So I cannot make an official announcement at this point, but what I can say is that everybody will see. I know there's been a lot of confusion about because the UK got it before the US, but the US is getting Paranormal Lockdown Season 3, and as soon as we can announce that, we will absolutely let everybody know via our Facebook, Instagram, Twitters. So I would say just keep up to date with us on those platforms. Nick's tags are at @NickGroff_, and mine is just at Katrina Weidman.
Yeah.
So if you keep up with us there, and you can also follow, Discovery, which is our parent network. We should have announcements hopefully soon. So, but everybody will be able to see them. Yep.
Okay, great. Well, wonderful, and it's been
such a
wonderful time, and I'm so humbled and honored that you were able to come and share a little bit with us today. So best of luck to you on more investigations and everything coming your way. All right? So thank you very, very, very much.
Thank you so much, guys. It was a
pleasure. What a great show today. And from my daughter, Taylor, and myself, thank you for joining us here on Spiritually Paranormal. And until next time, bear out. You can follow Katrina Weidman over on Facebook under Katrina Weidman, and you can also find her under Paranormal Lockdown on Facebook, as well as Twitter. Now remember also, she does have a website, and that's www.katrinaweidman.com. My name is Bear Medicine Walker, and I can be found at bearmedicinewalker.com. Thank you all for joining us today, and until next time, stay safe.